We're privileged to have with us today a guest speaker from Lifeline Coalition, Joy Hotchkiss. She's a stewardship manager there. I'll get that out. And also Emily, and is it Glasson? Guys, okay, Executive Director of Lifeline Coalition. We're blessed to have them with us. We're going to start with a little video before Joy comes up to share. But again, when she comes up, give her a warm Calvary welcome. But the video first, okay?
You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Every person crafted in the image of our Creator. From the unborn baby forming in the secret place to the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, all are fearfully and wonderfully made. Her life has value and is created with a purpose, and her unborn baby is worthy of life. Our days were ordained before one of them came to be. Spend each day thankful for the life you have been given. Life is precious, today and always.
All right, well, thank you for the warm welcome. I want to say I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. What a beautiful, loving congregation. Emily and I really enjoyed spending some time getting to know some of you and just your hearts of service, and what beautiful worship. And then I found out that we are blessed to actually be here on a choir Sunday, and the choir sounded amazing. So thank you for that. And thank you, Pastor Zach and Bob, for coming to the banquet, and Pastor Steve for this warm welcome. We know that God has a plan and a purpose that is far greater than we can ever ask or imagine. You know, God really affirmed that to me on the day that I had my first child. I had no idea that she was coming until that day. We had gotten a phone call that we were selected to interview for a potential adopted child, and the birth mom had gone into labor. This is through the foster care system. They said, this never happens but God. And that morning, I had started reading in Psalm 119. And you know, I was trying to read like a psalm and a proverb every day before work. Well, that's like the longest psalm in the Bible. So I didn't get done. And literally, we had just got back from vacation the day before. So when we got that word and we did the interview, and I just kept poring over the psalms, and there's so many promises God gave me that day. But when I got to this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was knit together in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And this is what got me. Listen to this. All the days ordained for me were written before any of them came into being. And in that moment, God poured such a peace over me that it didn't matter what I said at that interview. It didn't matter if I was good enough, if I was, you know, all this child's days were ordained, and I could trust in that promise. And at Lifeline Coalition, that's what we do. We want women to see that God is knitting these precious babies together, and that he's got a perfect plan and a place and loving arms for every single one of these kids. Because we are all created in the image of God. Everybody who walks through that door. I want to tell you a little story. This is a little story about Michelle. Well, Michelle, her life was not easy. She and her husband were working really hard to provide for their kids, but it seemed like in today's economy, they could never catch up. One morning, she was feeling a little nauseous, and so she took a pregnancy test and confirmed her worst suspicion that she was pregnant. She pulled out her phone and she started searching. You know, maybe that cheap test she took was just wrong, and she certainly couldn't afford to buy another one. And that's when she found our clinic online, and she spoke to one of our nurses on our 24-hour chat line, and Michelle thought she was pregnant, and she didn't know what to do, and she needed some information about an abortion. Well, our nurse scheduled her an appointment and let her know that she needed to confirm her pregnancy and that we would be able to do that for her and provide an ultrasound. She was overwhelmed at the point of just having another child. But when she came into our clinic, she was met with loving volunteers who shared just the presence of Jesus. It's a free medical clinic, and she actually met with one of our nurses. We have registered nurses that meet with the girls. And she also had a sonographer that day who gave her an ultrasound to confirm her pregnancy. During that time, she heard that heartbeat, and she said, "Boy, this feels so real." But she told the nurse through her tears that she wouldn't be able to do this. She didn't have the resources. But because of the information that was provided for her, because of the love that was shared to her, because of that time that she had to process that information, Michelle came back the next week. And she sat with the nurse and she asked some more questions. And we were able to give her all these resources. And we are so excited to say that a couple of weeks later, we found out that Michelle was indeed keeping that baby. You know, it's no coincidence that the enemy goes after life in the womb. You guys remember Jesus first appeared in the womb when Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and the babies greeted one another in the womb. The enemy of our soul wants to go after the most vulnerable. You know, Seth Gruber says that Jesus could have come into the world anyway, but he chose to come into the world in the most humblest of way. He entered life just like you and me. Through a uterus. And the word that they use in the Bible, it's barephos. It's the same Greek word that they use for John when he was in the womb, that they use for Jesus when he was placed in that manger. So we have an important job to do because the enemy lies to people. The enemy says that that is just tissue and that is not a life. But I want to tell you guys, you can move ahead on my slide there. What we're doing is working. We just found out this week, 210 lives saved in our two free clinics over the last year, so in 2024. We went from seeing maybe 5 to 10 people of the most abortion vulnerable choosing life when we operated as a pregnancy center model to actually offering this medical clinic model where women are getting the medical care and treatment that they need to reaching those who are literally seeking an abortion online. So, how do we do that? I'm gonna go ahead. We do that by meeting them where they are. Where do women, what do they do when they don't know what to do? They grab their all-knowing phone, right? Google. And so our goal is to be in that top three searches when they're searching the word abortion, and that is when they're met with loving volunteers who get appointments or the 24-hour nurse chat line. So in that time, I love this slide too, I jumped ahead of myself, but the most important thing that we do in that moment is slow down that crisis thinking and ask girls what they truly believe, because nobody wants an abortion. They just don't know what to do. And so in that time, they are offered loving, compassionate care to talk through what an abortion really is, but they're also offered the Gospel of John. And we're happy to say that 99% of those women do take that, and that they do, we pray, you know, God's word never returns void. We pray that they read that later. And our goal is to have those girls come back and be met with just the loving grace of Jesus Christ. So there's no coincidence, you can go to the next slide there, that our lives saved by years has continued with the number of donors that we have each year. We've seen a 50% increase in lives saved over the last year. And if we continue to do this, if we continue meeting girls right where they are, we're going to save over 1,000 lives in the next 5 years. So the bottom line is, and it's pretty clear, more donations help save more lives. We know that it takes only $1 to get that gospel into their hands. I want to share a story of a girl who we found out later, she took that gospel home, and she decided to parent, and in those desperate times of the night when she didn't know what to do, she opened it up, and she found Jesus through that pamphlet. So $1 truly does impact lives for eternity. We found out because she chose to join a local Bible study because she wanted her child to be raised within the church. So incredible. We know that it takes $35 to reach these women on a Google ad. Okay, we got to be competitive. We are a 501c3. Ooh, I said it right, Emily. And we do not receive any government funding. We are based on the donations of our churches and our supporters and our faithful ministry partners that come alongside of us to provide care, free services for these women. We know that it's about $1,200 to have the medical professional to operate our clinics. We have one clinic in Freeport. We have one right over here in Love's Park. And to staff those, keep the doors open, and keep those girls coming back, it's about $1,200. So we are just so grateful that you guys would consider prayerfully joining with us in this incredible ministry. But we also ask for your prayer, because you know what? They're not all wins. And our nurse staff, our sonographer, they might be the only ones who recognize that life on that screen. We pray with all our hearts that these girls do change their minds, but we love them regardless. And we've had girls who have gone ahead with an abortion, but they came back because they felt loved and cared for in our clinic. And so, guys, it is so important. We need your prayers. We are on the front line. Those nurses, our sonographer, they see countless women every week. So consider joining our prayer line. We have a text message that goes out a couple times a week that'll tell you specifically how to be praying for these women. And then we also would ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us. So this is our campaign right now. We have Change for Life. There are baby bottles on the back table. You can grab one of those and you can put in, you know, cash or change or check or whatever God leads to you to provide for the ministry. And then we're going to be collecting those, I think, February 16th, so if you want to gather them together. But it's amazing what God can do with our change. And so we just are so grateful that you guys would consider partnering with us. And thank you for being a church that stands for life and stands on the Word of God. We appreciate you so much. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you. And for those of you who might not have got the communication, though we've tried to make sure we got the news out to you, we are taking up asking for people to make donations for Lifeline Coalition, and you can just place whatever offering you'd like to in an envelope and put it in the box in the back in the foyer. Marked for Loveline Coalition. So we want to, again, support them as much as we can. Thank you again. Thank you so much. Pro-life or pro-choice? And we hear that a lot, don't we, these days? It's sad that things have come to that, I believe. It shouldn't surprise any of us here that God is pro-life. He is pro-life. For he's the author of life. He's the very one who breathed life into that first human being that he created from the dust of the ground. The Apostle Paul declares in Acts 17:25 that our Father God gives life and breath to all of us. In other words, he's the breath of life for every person who has ever lived. Psalm 127:3 tells us that children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Among the most referenced passages perhaps on this subject was shared not only in the video but also by Joy from Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. And if you listen to David, the man after God's own heart there, if you listen to him, what he has written, it sounds pretty conclusive. But God is the author of life within that womb. David was more, though, than someone just had a heart for God. He was a prophet of God, a spokesman for him. We need to remember that. Yet the debate is often with people who don't believe in God or in the Scriptures, I'm afraid. They insist that the discussion must be based solely upon science. So to them, the question is not necessarily, is life valuable? But when does life begin? And when does it become viable? Polls in 2021 revealed that 80% of Americans trust biologists to be best equipped to judge when life happens. And guess what? 98% of them agree that life begins at the time of fertilization or conception. Huh. Still, the issue for too many still becomes, well, what point does that life have value? Until recently, data suggested a child could not survive outside the womb before 24 weeks. And that led some to reason that, well, that child didn't have any value then either. Yet in May of 2023, Eliana Lopez was born at only 20 weeks old. She weighed less than a pound and was about the size of a soda can. The smallest baby ever born at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center was given little to no chance of survival, yet she survived. She survived and she grew, and her parents celebrated her life. And she was actually discharged from the hospital March 2024 at 10 pounds. To this very day, she is thriving. This has caused a lot of people in the scientific community to have a stir within them that some in the medical field have even been forced to reevaluate. If a 20-week-old fetus, as they prefer to call the baby, is a precious, living, breathing human being worth keeping, at what point does life within the womb have value? Well, Joy intimated at this, but asked the couple who has longed to conceive, if it's anything other than a child, they rejoice over when the test comes back positive. Ask the parents what they see looking at the ultrasound or the sonogram. Ask the doctor again what that rhythmic beating sound is within the womb. Ask a mother who's had a miscarriage. It was only blood and water and a bit of tissue that she passed. You can ask them, but I think you already know the answers that they're going to give. Yes, God is pro-life, and we should be too. But did you know that God also allows choice? Now, before you start, you know, gathering stones to throw at me in the parking lot after the service, bear with me. By this, I mean that he gives us free will. We're able to choose what we do with the life that he blesses us with. Though God has a plan and a purpose for us all, he doesn't force us to follow his will. I mean, if he did, we would need Lifeline Coalition. We wouldn't have to have this discussion today, would we? Though not specifically focused on the topic of the baby within the womb, listen to God's word in Deuteronomy 29, 19 through 20. He says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses that I have set before you both life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Notice that you and your children may live. "That you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." See, our Creator gives us life and the freedom to choose how we're going to live that life. Yet he makes it clear that our choices have consequences. Our life choices can hurt others as well as do great harm to ourselves. It's why so many in the pro-life movement go to such great lengths to make sure women can make informed choices about their pregnancies. Now, to be clear, an abortion is not like a wart removal or an antibiotic to clear out a virus. It's not surgery to remove an unpleasant skin tag or a malignant tumor. Neither is it merely an interruption of a natural process. Terminating pregnancy halts the intended development and maturation of life that God has given. Now, a word though, and I appreciate Joy, your heart, and I want you to hear my heart. A word to those who may have made that choice. There could have been many mitigating circumstances that influenced your decision. You may even have felt like you had no choice. I think I can understand why victims of rape and incest would be compelled to terminate pregnancies. I believe I can also sympathize with those who thought that they couldn't face those who would judge them for whatever indiscretions there were that led to the pregnancy, or were convinced that they could not possibly support a child alone, especially if the father refused responsibility, and that family and friends would not come alongside to help or offer support, or no one in the community would either. I can hardly imagine being in the shoes of a woman in those circumstances, but I have, over the 40 years I've been pastoring, I've counseled a few, and prayed with many, and cried with many. So please again hear my heart when I say I do not wish to heap guilt upon anyone. Lord knows that we who already feel condemned over something we've done in the past, we don't need that. Instead, I pray that we might all of us, realize that no matter what mistakes we have made in our past, we still have a Father who cherishes us. I find great comfort in the image of the love of God found in Zephaniah 3:17. We're told there that those who humbly bring their shattered lives and wounded spirits to him will not be turned away. And the ones he's talking to in that passage are some people who've done some horrible things, who spurned him and his word and his will for their lives. But he says to them, if they will bring those lives to him, the Lord your God is with you. He's the mighty warrior who saves you. He will take great delight in you. Hear this. In his love, he will not rebuke you, but will rejoice over you in singing. Our Heavenly Father offers grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, and love for the broken heart. We're his children no matter what we've done or failed to do. And he still longs to hold his children close, to nurture us, to comfort us in his arms. He proved that by sending his one and only son, Jesus, to give his life for us, to voluntarily surrender his life, that we might have everlasting and joyous life with the Father. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 5, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless. Now, let that sink in a minute. We were still powerless, like an infant in a womb. Though we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, we're told, to all who receive him, to those who believe in Jesus' name, he gives the right to become children of God. Hear this, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor husband's will, but born of God. Please don't miss this. Others would have questioned our value and our worth. But rather than discard us as worthless, he saw who we could be and would be in his care according to his plan and purpose. He saved us, hear me, and he birthed us. He chose life. May we choose to accept life that he offers us. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you in Jesus' name for your love, your compassion, your grace, your mercy, for your comfort. I thank you, Father, that you've called us your children, you've lavished your love upon us. that you've forgiven us and showered us with grace. Yes, that you sing over us like a mother would over a child. And like fathers, many fathers, like I did for my children as well. Father, thank you. I pray for those women, those families, those parents out there who might be wrestling with some life choices. Father, you'd be with them and Father, draw them close through your Spirit, touch them. And I thank you for those who would come alongside them, like Lifeline Coalition and others, who would come alongside them and speak to them lovingly and compassionately and offer support and encouragement to make the right choices in life. Father, thank you. You've chosen us. How humbling that is. Thank you. Again, we just praise you and can thank you enough, God, but may we use our lives that you give us in service to you, always trying to glorify you and bless others. May we have the heart of Jesus. In his name we pray. And amen.